Hey gang, it's a sad day for the music world, especially the Texas music world. We lost one of the great pioneers over the weekend, Rocky Erickson from the 13th Floor Elevators. He passed away. Great loss to Texas music. To me, Rocky Erickson, I didn't know him. I met him a couple of times. Friends of mine played with him over the last few years, now that he was out playing with bands again. I do know that he to me, embodied what being a Texas artist is all about. Just by the sheer nature of living here, we are not part of the mainstream music business. So therefore, we are making music that is definitely outside the box, okay? And this has kind of been a tradition for Texas musicians, I think. From Bob Wills to Archie Bell and the Drells, the 13th Floor Elevators, ZZ Top, Jimmy and Stevie Ray Vaughan, Asleep at the Wheel. All of these bands are very different in the genre that they're in. You know what I'm saying? And they went on to not just inspire garage bands, psychedelic bands, the psych rock movement, and basically lay the groundwork for bands that would come behind them. Bands like 16 Deluxe, bands like the Black Angels. All of these bands embody that spirit of being outside the box, even in their own genre. You know what I mean? Anyway, I want to thank Rocky Erickson for inspiring all of these great artists and being a pioneer in not just music, but in Texas music, something that I hold dear to my heart and I think means something to this show. Thank you, Rocky Erickson, for everything you did. I'm going to play a song by him right now. It's called Starry Eyes, and to me, this is a great power pop song. But even he approached it, not like in a power pop The Birds kind of way, but in a power pop, like, weird, psychedelic way. Long live psych rock. The 13th Floor Elevators, and Rocky Erickson.
What can I say or do for you, my little?
Gang, we all know Spotify is the best and most popular music streaming app. They have millions of songs by millions of artists available at your fingertips. But did you know that aside from millions of songs by millions of artists, Spotify also has thousands of podcasts from all of your favorite podcast people, like Serial, Fresh Air, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and of course, How Did I Get Here is available there. Go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here. That's Spotify. Millions of songs, now thousands of podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I had a good weekend. Yeah, I did. I got back to work with Skyrocket on Saturday. We played this party for these doctors at this resort outside of San Antonio. It was a great time. It was a great crowd. They were having a night as a crowd. They were into the show. We had a great connection with them. And it was a lot of fun. And it was great to get back to work with the band. I'm telling you. It gets freaky when there's not a lot of work, and our work does slow down in the summer. But speaking of Skyrocket, we will be playing this whole next weekend coming up. If you live in Houston, we will be playing Friday, June 7th at Rockefeller's. You can go to the Rockefeller's website or go to the Skyrocket Facebook page and like it if you're into Skyrocket. Saturday, June 8th, we'll be back at Sam's in San Antonio. All right, I'm looking forward to those shows, man. I like playing Rockefeller's. I love playing Sam's. Sam's is such a cool place. It seems like it's going to be weird because it's called Sam's Burger Joint Music Hall. And you think like, oh, it's a burger place, but the burger place is next door. And then it's a separate building. You walk across the little breezeway, you're in this badass music hall. Great sound, great lights, great show. All right, so come on out. This weekend, Skyrocket, getting back to work. Other than that, I got some stuff going on this week. Let me tell you guys, when I moved out of my place a month ago or whatever, I got this pod to put all my stuff in while they renovated my place. So the pod's been in my parking lot. So for them to pick up or drop off the pod, there has to be a parking space on either side of the pod empty. Well, I missed the first time because there was cars there. And they came and they were like, we can't come back for 2 more weeks. So they're supposed to be coming back right now. I'm looking out the window. There have been cars parked there for 3 days, the same cars. I turned in the license plate numbers to my office, and I'm like, can you call these guys and ask them to move their cars? But I'm thinking they might have called them. These people might be out of town. I was on watch all day Sunday, doing nothing but checking out the window every 20 minutes, looking out my blinds every 20 minutes. You know what that seems like? Like I'm some guy like freaking out on cocaine in my apartment all day, looking out the window. So that's weird. And so that happened. So I'm hoping that these cars will move before these guys come to pick it up, or it'll be another couple of weeks, and I'm scared they're going to charge me. That's my pod experience. Guys, I have a great show for you today. Ariel Abshire is here. She's got a brand new single out called Will You Love Me Tomorrow? Yes, the Carole King song. Yeah, she's got that coming. It's available now wherever you find your music. She's on Cleopatra Records. Ariel Abshire is someone that I didn't really know a lot about, and I followed her on social media. I'd see her pictures, and I had this idea of who she was that it actually wasn't who she is. So once we talked about her coming on the show, I started following on Twitter, and I started seeing exactly how funny she was. I suggest that you follow her on Twitter. She's hilarious. Once I started listening to her music, I realized what a phenomenal talent she was. Now, she came up doing like more Americana and country music because she came up cutting her teeth at the Broken Spoke with dudes like Alvin Crow when she was just a little kid. She was up there singing with Alvin Crow. She'd do like a whole set with him, sing duets with him as a little kid. And so she came up doing Americana, but over the last couple of years, she's sort of like changed the direction of her music, and she's going in more of a modern pop style. She's got a single out called Electric Fence, which came out a while back, and you'll hear a little bit of that at the beginning of the show. It's kind of the direction that she's going in. She's recently signed with Cleopatra Records and released a new single, a cover of Carole King's Will You Love Me Tomorrow, which is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. You can find her at arielabshire.com, but I do suggest that you follow her on the social medias because she is hilarious. Anyway, we have a fantastic conversation. She She's a joy to hang out with. We laughed a lot. She's very quick-witted, and she's extremely talented. And I think that the record that she's going to be putting out later this year is going to probably blow everyone's mind, because this song "Electric Fence" that you're going to hear in a second is absolutely fantastic, man. It's a great song. It's a great direction for her. And even her version of "Will You Love Me Tomorrow" is beautiful. All right? So, without further ado, enjoy my conversation with this extremely talented and very, very cool woman, Ariel Abshire. Let's get down.
Got a hole in my heart and you could never fix it. 'Cause you need that sugar rush that I can't give to you. Because
so it's funny because I've seen you on social media.
Yeah.
But digging into your stuff, I realize you've been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I have.
You started out really young then?
I did. I wrote
my... You don't look old.
I am old, yes. I look like I'm 12, but I am... I'm almost 28, actually.
Oh, really?
So I've been doing this...
still pretty young for... I mean...
Thank you. My record label won't say that, so thank you.
Who are those people?
I just signed to Cleopatra Records.
Okay.
So we are... I'm working on an EP right now. It's written. I've got about 20 songs written for this next album that I've written over the last couple years. But we're about to put out an EP, which I'm very excited about. I don't have a release date yet, but I'm very excited.
Are they the ones that put out the single?
They did, yeah. We put out that single. That's
Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
That's a totally different thing than what I'm
doing
personally.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was because just kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing.
The Electric Fence is...
Yeah,
is,
that's
is,
more is, the vein of what I'm doing.
Okay, because
yeah.
it's a step from your other records.
My other records were more... my first one was like indie pop. I did that one. I wrote it when I was 15 years old. So I was very inspired by like Regina Spektor and that kind of thing at the time. And then I grew up singing country. So I kind of went back to my roots a little bit and did two Americana-ish records. But my real love is doing a little bit of pop music. It's my guilty pleasure. So I'm leaning hard into that.
You are.
Yeah.
So what prompted you to do the Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
I actually, this was not my idea. I will preface this. I love my manager, but he basically said that I had some interest from a record label. They wanted me to get a little more publicity. So, I was sort of forced to go try out for American Idol. I got a little bit into it. I got a couple rounds in.
Were you on TV?
No, they told me, they emailed and they were like, hey, you're going to be on TV singing. But I actually was on TV sneezing. So I think maybe there was an autocorrect issue there.
When was this? On the last season or something?
Yeah, it's
on
the last
ABC
season.
Already?
Yeah, which I think is actually going to be the last season. I think they're getting canceled.
it's not doing well, is it?
Not that I've heard
what
of.
What do you think of
but
format?
I love a lot of the people.
It's been around almost, not as long as you've been alive, but like,
for a long time. Yeah.
Since you were a little kid.
It's not my thing. It was never my thing. Like, I'm a songwriter.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
and foremost. So it wasn't really my thing. And I went in singing like really indie songs. I did audition with Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. So my manager wanted me to record that. So if it was on TV, we could just release it as a single and be like, hey, this is the one I did. You saw it on TV, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you went to LA and did it?
I did.
With,
yeah.
With a bunch of cool dudes that I saw
did,
you
yeah.
work with Steve Lukather's son.
Yeah, Trev. Trev's a badass. He's awesome.
I told you, I just moved out. And I just moved back in last week, right? Uh-huh. They redid the place. But when I was packing up to move out, I listened to his audiobook.
Oh, really?
Steve Lukather. Steve, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gospel According to Luke.
Interesting.
Yeah, it sent me into this whole, like, Steve Lukather, Toto thing.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to their music ever since.
Yeah, they have a band called CFG, and they're like... it's kind of like a la The Darkness, like throwback to, you know, old school 80s, a little bit of metal hair band kind of stuff. They're really cool. The singer Jules is like one of the most insane vocalists I've ever heard live. Like,
really?
It's incredible. But they're actually going on tour with Toto.
That's yeah, I saw that.
Pretty cool.
I saw you went on his thing.
Yeah, they're label mates of mine, so we're pretty tight. They're cool dudes.
That's good, man. Yeah, that's really good. Was he fun to work with?
Yeah, he's also like really really funny. So
oh really?
Yeah, I'm into it.
His dad's very funny. That book is great.
Yeah, I should read that actually. Yeah. Maybe I'll get it for free.
You know, I have to say the audio version is great.
Does he read it?
Yeah.
I would have like Jim Dale, the guy from Harry Potter, read mine.
Oh, really? You wouldn't want to read your own?
I just think it'd be funny if Jim Dale did it.
Jim Dale?
I think that's his name, Jim Dale.
I don't know who that is.
He did the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Best audiobooks ever.
I'm not a fantasy guy. Are you a fantasy person?
Yeah.
You grew up in that time of Harry Potter, too.
I did grow up in the time of Harry Potter, so I do love Harry Potter, and I also love fantasizing about my own life. So, yeah, I'm into fantasy.
What's the fantasy of your own life?
Oh, I love, you know, that I get texted back. That's a good fantasy. I also, you know, I hope to make it in music at some point. That's the goal.
You've been at it a long time.
I have, yeah. I just now got my record deal, so it's been a long time
coming. You're almost 28?
Mm-hmm.
I got my record deal when I was almost 30, so
yeah,
it's all right.
I'm pretty much there, yeah. I claim 30 at this point. People are like, how old are you? Yeah.
There are some guys, though, like, you know, like there's people like Alejandro Escovedo whose career never really took off until after he was in his 40s.
Yeah. I think, you know, unfortunately, there's a double standard for women as well. I've definitely been told, like, well, once you hit 30, it's hard for you to make it. So that's always been something that's bothered me. It's very ageist.
Fuck that.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Man?
Yeah, it's really very ageist.
Yeah.
So, and I think for me personally, and a lot of writers and female musicians I know, we just get better as we learn more about life. So,
well, I mean, men and women get marginalized in this business as you get older, which is the weirdest thing because you really do get. I mean, if you're on a trajectory of growth as an artist,
it doesn't
you just get better.
Uh-huh, exactly. You don't stop learning life lessons. You don't stop, getting your heart broken, unfortunately. But you don't stop having writing material as you get older. So, that's always bothered me.
Can I ask you about that? Did you, was a manager, not to disparage anything in it, but it was a sort of a thing about your looks?
Oh,
and a thing
just,
like that? Because you are a very beautiful
woman.
And
thank
how someone would want to exploit that. Like, oh, just put her face on TV and
give
her songs.
Yeah, it's not my current team, but I've definitely had people who have tried to work with me being like, well, we got to hurry this shit up
because
getting old. I'm like, yeah, I know. Calm down.
You handle it with grace.
Yeah,
you seem to have a good sense of yourself and you're okay.
I think as long as you have a sense of humor about something or about yourself, that's, you know.
Because this is a bitch.
Yeah.
This business is a bitch.
It is. And it's been really hard, especially when I was a little bit younger, trying to find myself musically as well. It's definitely been difficult. But I feel like I'm in a stage in my life where I'm just happy to do it.
Yeah.
Just enjoying making things that I'm proud of.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thank you.
So let's go back. So you're from here?
Mostly. I'm from the Beaumont area. So
cool.
I'm from the swamp.
Yeah.
But I've been here since...
Swampland.
I call myself the swamp queen. I've been here a long time, though. I've been here since I was 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your parents' thing? Why did they move here from Beaumont?
So my parents got divorced, which was a fantastic thing. I loved it. I actually told my mom, I was like, we need to leave him. She was like, yeah, shit, we do. So she met my stepdad, who's an amazing human being. He's an artist, animator, and he used to meet a band in the 90s here called Gals Panic, which is you know Gals Panic?
Yeah, yeah.
My stepdad's Lance Fever.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's a singer, or he was a singer.
I might have met that dude.
You probably have.
Yeah.
He's around. Every time we go to like a Thundercloud Subs, there's a guy who's like, Lance Fever, free sandwich. So it's great. We moved here to be with him because he's a fantastic dude. He's been, you know, my real dad my whole life. And, yeah, so that's why we moved here. I'm glad we did. It's definitely a good place to hone your musical craft. And that's when I started.
Do you talk to your dad? Your
oh, hell no.
Dad?
No. No. Well, okay, so.
Obviously, you guys probably have issues if you were the one who was like,
God.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah, he sucks. So he... He hasn't contacted me. I don't think I've seen him since I was like 11. And he hadn't contacted me in a very long time. And I was cool. I kind of forgot about him. I was like, oh, yeah, that dude, Brian, he exists. But he, after I did the American Idol thing, we put it on Facebook that I may be on it. And he messaged me out of the blue. He saw that I was going to be on the Idol. And he was like, hey, and I'm like,
He's going to be the guy. Oh, it's my daughter. Taught her everything she knows.
Exactly. Not that he like has any friends or knows any people. You don't think he does anything. So, yeah, he has no one to brag to.
No.
But, other, maybe his stripper ex-wife would love it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was gonna, okay, so you moved here.
And I did.
What is, what's the stepdad guy's name?
His name's Lance.
Right, Lance.
Yeah.
From Gal's Panic.
Gal's Panic.
So I had to get rid of my gun.
It's cool.
So how did you get introduced to music? Through him?
Yeah, I grew up singing always, like, putting on plays. Like, I was very Max Fisher from Rushmore.
Yeah.
My cousins would wake up like having nightmares that I would make them be in musicals.
Yeah.
I was like into, you know, Sinead O'Connor and like really cool stuff when I was younger. But the thing that really inspired me to want to like pursue music is I saw the movie Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
And I just loved it.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. Coolest people of all time. I was like, I want to play guitar. I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
So I started going to this rock and roll camp. Did you ever hear of Natural Ear Music? I don't know if it
I'm like 50,
anymore.
So there's like, yeah. Unless I knew someone that taught there, I wouldn't know.
Michelle Murphy. Alvin Crowe.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, he taught there. He was my mentor there. He asked me when I was 11 to start coming out to sing with him at the Broken Spoke. So that's kind of how I got into gigging. I would go maybe twice a week, play with him at the Broken Spoke. We did Green Hall. We were gigging a lot back in the day. So he would play his set and then call me up for about 30-40 minutes and then finish up his set.
You would sing lead?
Sometimes we'd sing lead. We would do duets. Also with his son Jason too.
You're 11?
I'd say I did that age 11 to about 17 or 18.
So cool. How did you explain that to the kids at school? Like, did you?
I think because I lived in Austin, like so many kids were in bands,
right.
I also went to school with one of the girls who was in my rock band, so I didn't feel like we had to explain anything. We're just like, yeah, come to our show.
Yeah.
Why aren't you at our show at this roller rink? Pretty much it.
So you had like not you weren't just doing stuff with Alvin and stuff, but you were also doing your own Josie and the Pussycats band.
Sort of. We it was through that music school, so we didn't really get to pick our songs, but we didn't play anything that was written past like 1980. So we did a lot of Led Zeppelin and like the classic rock kind of stuff, and then some country stuff too. So we did Wanda Jackson and. Alvin thought I sounded like Wanda Jackson, but really I was trying to do a Runaways thing, but I guess it came off.
How did you know who they were?
My friend Edgar from elementary school for my 11th birthday gave me a Runaways CD. I just thought
what a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. He's a really cool guy.
Because at that time there wasn't any, had they not made that movie, just people that were around, like, when I was a kid and saw pictures, because they didn't even really play them on the radio when I was a kid.
Yeah, he was, like, listening to Iggy Pop when we were, like, 9.
That is so cool.
He's been the dude from High Fidelity since he was since he was very small.
You stay in touch with him?
I do, yeah. He's really good friends of an ex-boyfriend of mine, so we stay in touch. He's a good guy.
Has anyone ever told you that you sound like Sam Phillips?
Sam,
do you know who that is?
I don't. Oh.
She was married to T-Bone Burnett.
Okay, I know T-Bone Burnett, but I don't think I've heard of Sam Phillips. But
your voice reminds me of hers a lot.
Oh well, I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, it is. I love her.
Okay,
just so you know, I love her, and I love her voice. I love her songs. Yeah, you should check her out. You might like her.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always looking for new female artists to listen to because I grew up listening to like a lot of dude musicians, and now in my late 20s I'm like, I really want to get into like and support the female scene.
It's funny because I mean obviously I, you know, being a dude and stuff, like dude bands, and you know, being a dude in a band was real cool to me, but I was like a huge Go-Go's fan, and really all the singers that I've ever tried to sing like have been women.
Interesting.
Like those are my, like, I want to sing like her, but a dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I did the opposite. Like, I my last record, I was just trying to be Elvis Costello. And I literally just, like, ripped him off so hard. My first song
Which
on my
Elvis
last
Costello,
record.
Like, now I've like, super vibrato?
Yeah, like, Blood and Chocolate kind of Elvis.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just, like, ripped him off. There's a song called I Hope You're Happy Now. I'm going to get sued for saying this. But I just, like, yeah, I'm writing that song, but as me. And I went to the studio. I was like, hey, I had Lonnie Trevino in there with me. And I was like, hey, just do exactly this bass line that's from this song. And he was like, okay. So
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were you playing in your band? Like, in your rock band?
My rock
band? You were playing 70s dude rock, Led Zeppelin stuff.
Yeah, totally.
When did you start?
We played a lot of Doug Somm, too, because Elvin used to be in the Doug Somm band.
What Somm songs did you do?
That's a great question. I'll have to think about it. I don't even know.
I just had Shannon on a couple weeks ago, his son.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a good friend of mine from back in the day.
I have to think about that one because I didn't even know what we did.
Did you ever get to meet him or anything? No.
No, I think he had passed away before I was in the scene.
He was a guy that I'll say, like, he's one of those guys.
Or the son. Sorry, do you mean Doug Somm or you mean
his Doug
son?
Somm.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't get to meet him.
He was a guy that was like, easily the most interesting guy I've ever met. And I met some really interesting guy. Like, that guy and his energy was like nobody else. This kid has it.
Yeah.
Just like, rah! Like, he's just going, man.
That's the kind of person I like. I'm sure I would have enjoyed him.
Yeah. Great stories. All right. So did you start writing songs and stuff?
I did. Yeah. I started learning, actually, my stepdad's old guitar player, this guy, Jerm Pollitt. You know Jerm Pollitt?
Yeah.
Jerm Pollitt's he's one of my favorite people, but he taught me to play guitar. Basically, when I was 14, I bought a guitar. I was like, I want to learn to play. And he taught me probably like 10 chords, maybe, and gave me some songwriting tips. One of my favorite being, the more specific you are in a song, the more people will relate, as opposed to being very general, like, tonight, we're going out tonight. Like, no one's going to be like, I mean, they're like, yeah, I guess we're going out tonight. But if you're very specific about your life, people are going to find that in their
own life. I get that
in
your songs, yeah.
Yeah, so he taught me that. He taught me a couple chords, and then I started songwriting when I was 14. And I had my first heartbreak that was just massive when I was 15. And so I wrote my first record. Yeah. It's my MySpace boyfriend. It was an ordeal. It went on for like 10 years.
What do you mean? There's a MySpace. Tell me this.
So I was obsessed with the band Belle and Sebastian.
Yeah, of course.
And he lived in Arizona. He had started a MySpace page that was a fan page of Belle and Sebastian.
Okay.
And we started talking online and on the phone, and we just both really loved this band. And
you were in love?
It was very in love. We were long distance boyfriend, girlfriend for a long time. He actually came to visit. And then ghosted super hard. So, yeah, so rude. But we got back together when we were 21, 22. We went and traveled around for a while and
really?
Went to music festivals. Yeah.
Wow.
My first and third album were about him. He just ghosts. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him.
Wow.
Yeah. Rude.
So you've always had like a tumultuous, hopefully it'll change with Josh, right?
Pete. I think.
No, who's the guy out there?
Yeah, his name's
Pete. Yeah,
Pete.
Sorry. Why did I say Josh?
I think it's Pete. I was kidding. It's Pete. I don't know. Maybe I dated
him. He seems nice.
He does seem nice. I'm still waiting for him to be a secret asshole, but we'll see. I think he's nice.
Okay, can you be a secret asshole? Do you think that are you difficult to be with? Is that what the problem is?
I just claim to be an asshole out front.
Right.
No,
I do that too. I think it tries to make it so that later on down the line, you're like, I told you at the beginning that I'm a jerk. Yeah.
No, I'm not a jerk. I think I'm a little emotionally complicated. But also I personally feel like I get duped a lot. I feel like I meet a guy who I think is really nice and I fall in love on the second date. And then I realize that they're not the person that I thought they were because I tried to move into it too quickly. And I also feel like, people have an idea of who I am that's incorrect. I think they want me to be something. It's like a really cute musician girl accessory, and that's not really me.
So.
I think a lot of days we're like, oh, I like having a musician girlfriend. It's like, no, you don't. I'm going to write mean songs about you, and you're not going to like it.
Right. Well, there is a perception you get when you see just photos of you, but there is a thing, like, when you go read your Twitter feed, you're funny as shit.
Thank you.
And you have some bitterness that's hilarious, thank you. By the way.
Thank you. I'm very bitter.
Yeah. This
now I tell people I'm funny and they're like, really? I'm like, I am.
So the
I have to tell people that.
You don't have to tell me. I got you. It when I read the Twitter, hey. And I was like, all right, I can get behind this person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what most of my ex-boyfriends think too.
What?
They're like, I can get behind this person.
Yeah.
But then like, never mind. It was a gross joke.
Yeah, that was disgusting. I didn't even expect it. So I was like, now I'm a little,
sorry.
I'm blushing.
Yeah. Well, I said it, so.
So, all right. So you write the song for the Bell and Sebastian guy. When did you start doing your own music out? Where did you go to school here?
So I went to, I went to McCallum High School for like 2 seconds and then I started homeschooling.
Okay.
Partially to do music because when I was, you know, in school, I didn't have much of a musical outlet. Like, it was hard for me to balance those things, and I was really trying to go for it at the time. And I'd gotten signed to a record label, Darla Records, which I don't know that they exist anymore. But
what was that experience like?
It was interesting. I really liked being on Darla Records. I'd say it was probably the most exposure I'd gotten as far as I have gotten to this day, as far as like getting my music out there. I had some good reviews from like Boston Globe and
did you tour some cool and stuff?
No, I didn't tour. Well, I did a lot of kind of regional stuff. So I would do Houston and Dallas a lot. I got to open for some cool people like House of Blues. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
How old were you?
When you did that? We released it when I was 16. So that's kind of when we started. I got a band and started playing around.
Who was playing with you then and stuff?
Do you know Andy Sharp?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did my first
Sarah's
record. Yeah.
Sarah's ex. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, X?
Yeah.
Ooh,
shit.
Okay.
It's all over the place. It's it's a popular story going on.
Ooh, okay, I did not know about that. Yeah, so Andy played with me because we recorded the record together, and he kind of recruited some folks, and I had an ex-boyfriend or high school boyfriend playing with me for a while.
Was he your boyfriend?
He was my boyfriend at the time, and then we broke up like mid-band.
How was that? Like, that's bad enough with adults that have already the tools to be in a relationship in a work situation, but
it was okay. It's totally okay. He quit the band after a few months because I started dating someone else. But he was pretty cool. When we were together, I think we were together because we were really good friends. But we were both still not over other people.
Yeah.
So we just kind of had a friendship bond. But he got back together with the girl that he loved in high school. Now they're married and happy. So, you know, it's totally cool. We're chill.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. He's in a couple bands around town and doing it.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So so you went out and you were 16. You did that. Mm-hmm. And then once that sort of cycle of that record ended, then what did you do?
I wrote two more. I just didn't push them as hard. My third one I really liked.
Which one was that?
It's called Unresolved. Yeah. I hadn't felt like it was really something I wanted to push. They were very deeply personal records, but maybe a little bit not as accessible of music as what I'm doing now. So I feel like my new songs are going to be a little easier to push for people to kind of digest.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about the other stuff? Is it that you don't think is like the production is kind of like in a kind of Americana?
Yeah, it's not really what I do now.
Right.
But yeah, the production is more Americana. Especially my second record, I feel like my vocally have gotten a lot better as well. So
you've grown a lot.
I mean,
you just got older. You know?
I did.
And your voice got mature.
Yeah, I've definitely over the last several years, I have really practiced. I'd never practiced before. Like, I would just go to shows and be like, I think I know how to do this. so I've really practiced over the last few years to get my voice in shape, and I feel like I'm vocally there now. So
that's good.
Yeah. So this coming record is vocally my best work, which is really the thing I'm super proud of, like writing and vocals.
Is Electric Fence going to be on there?
It's not. It was just a single.
It's just a straight up single, but it's more music in that vein.
It is more in that vein. That one was done with Louis Lino here in town. Yes. And we had a great time doing that together. But I did the rest of it with a dude named Mackenzie Smith from, he's from Denton. He does, do you know Kayla Sinclair? She's an M83.
No, I love it.
M83. Yeah, she's great. So he does a lot of her records. And then I finished it out with a guy in town named Lang Freeman.
Love Lang.
He's great. Yeah, he's one of the best songwriters I've ever. I don't co-write. I don't like to do it. But we co-wrote two songs together. And I really like cannot stress enough that I hate co-writing, but not with him.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a beautiful. He was like, I think he was my second guest on the show.
Oh, was he?
Uh-huh. I think so. Second or third or something. Yeah.
We, like half of our sessions, we just sit around and talk about nothing for like 45 minutes. We just talk shit.
That's how you do it. 45 minutes. Like, that's how you get in the vibe to me.
Yeah. Know? Well, we just talk, we like complain about Game of Thrones for like 20 minutes and then move on to like, well, I broke up with this person again. So how can we parlay this into a song? I usually come in with a bunch of lyrics, and he has a beat or a, you know, piano part that he's working on, and we combine them, and he makes me make a little more sense. So it's good. Yeah, he's awesome.
That's really good.
Yeah, so we just did a song on Tuesday that I'm super proud of and is going to go on the EP.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear that.
Well, thank you. I'll send it to you.
You don't know when it's coming out, the record yet, the EP.
I don't. We're trying to figure it out. I need my manager to call me back, so we'll figure it out. I'm not into
Who's your manager here?
His name's John Gomez. He's great. He's really supportive.
Is he here in Austin?
He is in Austin, yeah. He also manages the ZFG band with Trev Lukather.
So it's a whole like family thing.
It is a little family thing, yeah. But we need to set a release date, so that's what we were working on. We were trying to do March, but I've since added some songs. So
you mean next March?
No, past March. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. We're trying to do past March. But I've written a couple more songs that are going to go on it. So once those are mixed and mastered, we'll start working on a release date. So hopefully in the next couple weeks.
Where did you record the Will You Love Me Tomorrow? At one of the classic LA studios?
I did. So it's a place called Treehouse Studios. Yeah. Do you know Treehouse?
Yeah. I've never been there, but I know it.
It's super cool. Yeah, those guys are awesome. I basically was like, I love the Shrells and I love the Carole King version. Let's do something that's nothing like those. And Trev came up with a cool guitar part and we just went from there. I actually had the flu when we recorded it.
Really?
The legitimate flu. Mm-hmm.
The legit flu.
For real. Actual, not like flu symptoms. My mother and I woke up at 4 a.m. the next day, both in our hotel room, sweating. And we were like, oh, fuck. We have flu. And I did my American Idol audition with the flu, which was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what did they say to you when you did, you're going to California? Or what did they say?
For American Idol?
Yeah.
Well, they're like, you're going to Hollywood. And I was like, I'm in Hollywood. I think they didn't really like my sense of humor very much. It's not, they're owned by Disney now, so I'm not very.
Right, yeah.
I think I look kind of Disney, but my mouth is not Disney.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, it was fine. The judges are Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan. And
Luke, oh, God.
Yeah, he's that a country
guy?
Dude.
Yeah, no, I know that guy.
I've never heard any of his songs.
I went through a phase where I zeroed in on him as like the enemy of music at the time.
That's how I feel about Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, I don't understand Ed Sheeran. Honest with you. It doesn't. I mean, I love great songwriters. I just don't get his thing. Isn't my jam.
It's not for me. I don't begrudge him. I do begrudge him his success personally, but I really don't. I think he writes a catchy song. I think technically he's a good guitar player and he can sing. I just personally want to like throw him over the side of a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tune out when he starts. I don't know if he's good or. I mean, I'm sure he's doing well. He's singing in tune and he's playing the guitar well.
Yeah,
but I'm just not.
I think he's probably a nice guy, but I also think he's the devil incarnate. I just can't. Personally, I'd probably get along with him, but song Shape of You makes me want
to
die.
So what did Lionel Richie say to you?
He was like super lukewarm on me. He was like, meh. And then Luke Bryan was kind of like, meh. And Katy Perry was like, told me I sounded like Stevie Nicks. which I get because I had the flu. So yeah, I probably had more of a Stevie Nicks thing going when I had the flu. Yeah. But apparently that was not a good thing for some reason.
I was just about to ask if it was
good. Well, the producers were really trying hard to pit us against each other, being like, do you think she hates you because you're too similar? And I was like, she hates me?
Yeah.
I was kind of refusing to go into the, I'm not going to. Well, I'm not going to fight another female musician on camera.
And also, you're not going to give them the television they're looking for and sacrifice your own.
Yeah, I'm not going to be an asshole on television in that way, at least. I did make like a glory hole joke on camera. So that was. Yeah, do you want to hear it? It was good.
Yes, I do. I want to hear it right now.
There was a dude with a guitar who I was hanging out with who was sitting next to me, and he had a massive hole in his guitar, I think from playing it so much. Yeah. He had worn this hole. That's what I said. The camera crew came over and they were like, Mitch, how did you get that hole in your guitar? And I was like, oh, he fucked it. And they did not laugh. And I was like, it's actually a glory hole. And on the other side is a Republican man in an airport bathroom. And so that's somewhere on camera.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
They won't air that on the Disney
will they? They won't air that on the Disney channel. So that's probably also why I didn't get it.
I think you might be my idol now.
Okay.
That's amazing.
I'm your American idol.
You're my American idol. Yeah, I don't care about those other people. There's a guy from here on there now, isn't it? Uche on there?
Yeah. Is he from here? I don't know he's from
here. He's been on the show.
I think it's already done. I think they finished it out, but he was on there.
I just saw his Instagram.
Yeah, he was there. I didn't know he was from here. I should have talked to him more.
Yeah. He's crazy. He's hilarious.
Is he?
Yeah.
Should have.
And he's without a shirt a lot.
Oh, great.
But he's got all the right to be. Like, as a, like, you're like, God damn, I wish I could look like that when I'm walking around.
Yeah. I'm supposed to go work out after this, but I'm definitely going to bail on that.
So. Do you work out at a gym?
I do. Last 2 weeks, I have not because I started, like, once I start dating someone, I'm like, let's just not do that. Let's go get curry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm trying to go back.
You know, it's funny. You said this thing about like thinking you're in love in the on the second date.
Yeah,
dude, that just happened to me.
How did it work out? I mean,
well, it's just been a matter of a few days, but it was
still
like
going?
I mean, it's only been since I guess Thursday.
Okay,
but it was very intense. Yeah, and I thought I wasn't gonna have that happen anymore. I thought I was over that part of my life. It's been like 4 years since I was like, where is this person? You know what I mean? Pretty interesting.
It is interesting. I definitely I move too fast with things, so I'm trying to be a little more chill about it and get to know someone before I'm like, we're getting married and here, let's meet my parents 2 hours into the date. So I'm trying really hard not to do that. But it does make for some good songwriting material, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also, I think, you know, as a songwriter, I imagine the breakup as soon as we get together.
Of course.
What I'm writing breakup songs while we're happy.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever written a song and the person is like, what are you? Hey, man, no. Like, you implicate them in some kind of.
My MySpace boyfriend never said anything about them.
My MySpace boyfriend.
But he never, I would send them to him and he never responded. So.
What a jerk.
That's more my thing is like I'll send them like, hey, I wrote this for you.
You know what's weird?
I never get responses.
Ariel, sorry not to change the subject, but it's just weird that you made so much music that was so like country and Americana based, but every music you've referenced so far has not been that.
I didn't really grow up listening to that sort of thing. Like I liked I grew up like Sinead O'Connor. I really like
Sinead O'Connor,
Regina Spektor, Belle and Sebastian. I loved the Strokes. Like I loved the Strokes growing
up. Me too.
Let's see. Yeah, I Depeche Mode. You know, The Smiths, that sort of thing. A lot of my parents are very young, so they grew up as teenagers in the '80s. So that was what I grew up with.
Yeah.
Except my mom also somehow likes Def Leppard, which I did not.
Really.
Yeah, it's not my thing. She gets into some metal that you'd be surprised because she looks like me. She can bro down.
She can bro down. Yeah,
she's hardcore.
Is she going to see Judas Priest tonight or tomorrow?
No, but Pete is.
Pete is?
Josh or Pete, whatever his name is, he's going. He's going tonight. So I'm gonna sleep through that.
You should go, man.
It's pretty unbelievable, man. I've heard good things, but...
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
That's like the only Judas Priest song I know.
I know. You know what? I'm a fan of like four songs, and I think if I went, I was teetering on going. So I have a bunch of bros that are going, and if I was going to go, I'd want to be with those guys.
Yeah.
You know, a dude that's going to cry for sure at the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That level of like... commitment.
I haven't cried at a show yet, but...
You never have?
No.
Never cried watching a favorite band?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Oh, man.
Not yet. Come on. I think it's also partially because I'm always too short to see. So I can't like get really into it because I'm like...
I react like that to music sometimes. Sometimes it just like something just gets me and I just start bawling.
I'll cry really weird. To recordings, but I have not yet cried to a band. Although one of my favorite artists, this chick, I love her writing so much. Marina and the Diamonds. Now she's just Marina, but she's coming in September, and like that's my girl. So I might cry. I might cry a little bit. Probably will cry.
Can I ask you a question? Serious?
Yes.
Okay. In your Instagram, you said... I know. That's how I do my research, man.
Okay.
That you were 150 days sober.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That...
169 today. 169, okay. Dude.
Yeah.
So I...
So was it... Mm-hmm. What was going on?
So I had had substance abuse problems since I was very young. I started when I was like 13. So it wasn't a huge issue probably till I was about 22.
What substance, but like what?
I did everything when I was younger.
Really?
I did a lot of things when I was younger. I was in a rock band and I was sad.
I was in a rock
band. Going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I started really young. I kind of tapered off till I was about 21, 22. I started drinking pretty heavily. So that was my main thing. I just really love to drink. I love to drink more than I love to do most things. My father, my biological father, is a massive alcoholic. So
he gave you that.
My alcoholism, I found alcoholism is like, it's so individualized. It's different for every single person. So his is very different from what mine is. But I just loved drinking all the time. It got to the point where I was drinking alone. I was drinking bottles of wine. I was drinking before, or like in between, you know, double shifts at work. I just loved to drink. And I also, I thought that, you know, being a damaged person and drinking and having the drama would probably make me a better songwriter. And I think I'm a better songwriter without it.
Yeah.
Because I can feel my pain and see the clarity in situations. I'm also not drunk dialing people, which is great. So I quit in December. I had a big kind of, I quit before that for about a month and then restarted when I was in LA doing idol stuff. I started partying with the people there. And when I got home, I decided it would be really fun to continue my bender and take 10 shots of Malibu. And I did not drink Malibu. That was maybe the first time I'd ever had Malibu.
What's Malibu rum?
Malibu rum, yeah. And that was not what I drank at all. I was more like a pickleback kind of gal. Like pickle shots.
Okay.
Yeah. If I was going to do shots.
Right.
But so I drank a lot of Malibu, and then I got really bad alcohol poisoning, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Once you almost die from something, you're done. So I'm 169 days today, and I don't miss it. I feel clear-headed. I do feel like a better songwriter and vocalist, and making all the more mistakes.
Did you go to the meetings or anything? Or?
I didn't. You know, I know there's like a musician meeting, and I personally just feel like going to hang out with other addicts might not be the best idea for me personally.
Yeah,
I like hearing other people's stories in person, but going to like a meeting and socializing with a bunch of other people, maybe you could just get a drink after, you know. I don't want to ever get into that situation, and I don't ever want to feel like I'm enabling someone, or I'm happy to hang out with people who aren't also addicts.
Are you okay going to bars and stuff? Like, I mean, you seem
all
like
the time. I go to bars all the time. I have Topo Chico.
Yeah, that's what the
Topo Chico saves your life when you're sober.
People that stop drinking drink. Yeah.
I have Topo Chico. I go home by like midnight, so I can actually wake up the next day, which is cool.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'm much happier.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad that it didn't take some terrible... I mean, alcohol poisoning, I'm sure it was awful. I'm sure you puked everywhere.
I've been told that I did, yes.
Well, I'm glad. That's good. And I'm glad there wasn't a dramatic thing. For my show, I wish there was a little bit more dramatic thing. I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, you got, I can tell you all the dramatic things if
you want. You know that musician meeting? I can't say where it was going, but I walked in on it.
Oh, yeah, I think they do it like the North Door or something now.
I don't think you're supposed to say where it is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's all right.
It's not
there. This was a morning one, and it was at a place, and it was a coffee shop kind of place, and there's a big table outside. I go get coffee, and I'm super hungover.
Yeah.
And I'm walking, and I just see a table of my bros, and I'm like, bros! I gotta go and sit down. And they're like, hey, what's up? I'm like, dude, I'm hung as shit, man. I was drinking all night. What are you guys doing?
Not drinking.
Like, they're like, hey, buddy, you gotta go. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dudes, though. I mean, it was like a who's who of
sober musicians.
Of Austin dudes. Yeah. I mean, it was,
Well, musicians, like, I feel like so many that I know have substance abuse issues because I do feel like a lot of people think that if you're not fucked up, you're not creative.
Right.
Which is, if you are genuinely creative, that's not the case. So I think it's also, we deal with so many hardships in our careers and like, what are we doing with our lives? Might as well, or you have drinks after the show, that sort of lifestyle. You can fall into that really easily as a musician. And I work in a restaurant, so that's also the lifestyle of restaurants.
That is totally like the...
You get off at midnight, you go get fucked up, you come back at 8 a.m., do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blow doing it, those restaurant guys, too.
You know what? There is.
Yeah.
There really is a lot. They're usually the guys that. Like,
when back in the early times when I would do that stuff, it was always the restaurant guys that had it. It wasn't the musician guys. They didn't have any money.
No.
The restaurant guys had a guy. They made money.
Yeah, you make $80,000 a year as a server sometimes, and you buy blow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was a thing. I always work in hotels, so I was working in this one hotel. And my best friend started talking about how everyone in her department had coke problems. I was like, how? Who? Them? Really? Yeah. She's like, do you not notice how they act? I'm like, no, I'm only paying attention to myself.
Hey, so you haven't been playing a lot of shows.
No.
You're not playing a lot of shows. What
I'm
do you do?
To.
What do you do to kind of flex the muscle?
I sing karaoke in my room. I practice my songs in my room. I have Bose sound system, so I just sing to myself and annoy my family.
You live with your family?
I do. That's poor. Cool. So, yeah, I do live with my family. I practice a lot in my room. I'm trying to book shows. It's hard to do that here. It's hard to – people don't write you back. So I'm trying to start playing some more acoustic shows, and I'm starting to get a little band together with a dude who's going to run tracks and play guitar for me. So hopefully soon, once we get the EP on its way, that's when I want to start booking, hounding people to book me.
You know what I've found? I work with the Austin Music Foundation. You ever been down there?
I have, actually. I met...
Anar?
Yeah, I met with Anar for a little bit about doing some stuff.
My best friend.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have to say he was great.
Some people say
he was really mean to me, and I'm like, I know.
No, he was never mean to
me. Imagine I've been in bands with him like since the early 90s.
He was really sweet, actually. We were going to record together, me and Inner and Frenchie, and it just didn't end up working out. But he was very supportive of, I'd send him demos, and he loved them. So cool. I was happy. He's great.
He listens to everything that people send him. I was just going to say, like, one of the things that I've gotten out of like doing those things is that I don't think just like emailing people works anymore.
Yeah.
You got to go say hi to them or something. Yeah. it's a lot of work, isn't it?
It really is, especially trying to book yourself. We're looking for booking agents at the moment. So
it's hard.
We're trying to put the whole project together, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Right. You got a team on the outside trying to put the band together.
I'm trying to put the band together, but the team is trying to put the publicist.
The rest of the team.
Yeah. So first things first, we got to finish the EP and then get the team.
Get the team.
So that's where we're at now. But right now I'm being my own team.
Yeah.
Just cold calling people, trying to get shows.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you're playing. I would come see you play.
Absolutely.
Is there anything I'm missing? It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
You too.
You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm good. Just, yeah, working on the EP and Breaking Arts and hanging out.
It's funny because
waiting on people.
After seeing you in social media and stuff for a long time, I should have paid more attention. I feel bad about that because okay. I did. I was just like, oh, look, a cute girl singing. Fuck you.
You got to read my weird captions.
Yeah, I know.
I got told one time, like, my favorite thing I've ever been told was some dude who was like, I'm only here for the weird captions. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I got that definitely from your Twitter feed. But talking to you as a person, I'm looking at my notes really fast to see if I'm missing anything.
Yeah.
You knew Clifford Antone?
I did. Yeah, I knew Clifford. Dude. He used to come to the Spoke and watch us almost every night that we were there. And he was there with Pine Top Perkins.
Yeah.
Almost every night, front table. Great. I loved him. He was great. Pine Top was like smoking in your face.
Yeah.
And every time I would go off stage, he'd lean over to me and be like, I'm going to steal you. Which I loved. And I wish he did steal me.
Yeah. So. He's gone too, right?
Mm-hmm. He's gone. Yeah. But he was really old. I think he was like late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
He did real good.
He made it, man. Thing.
He did.
Well, congratulations on your sobriety.
Thank you.
And on everything.
Thank you on the
new EP. Come back when it's done and we'll talk some more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost done.
It's almost done. People can find you at arielabshire.com.
And they can, but there's nothing on it. I would say like Twitter or Instagram are more my things.
Okay.
Yeah, my website is like a picture of me and
it's a picture
name.
Of your short bio and
yeah,
and then
it's just like coming soon for the last 10 years. So, I think the Instagram and the Facebook and the Twitter is more my speed.
Well, Ira, thanks for doing the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Ariel Abshire. Great conversation. What a fantastic person. I really like talking to her, man. But she's funny. She's cool. She's laid back and she's extremely talented. Her latest single, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, is available now. I'll play it in just a second. Go to arielabshire.com. It has links to all of the socials there, which she just said her website's a little limited with info. But you can find her on the socials and see what she's all about. She is very funny. I really enjoyed talking to her. She is on Cleopatra Records. Hopefully you'll be hearing this EP later on this year, and maybe we'll get her back on the show. That's Ariel Abshire. Fantastic conversation. All right, get out there and get involved with her. And hey, while you're out there checking out arielabshire.com, finding her on the socials, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? That's right, you can follow us on there, see pictures of me and my guests like Ariel Abshire, get updates on the show, get an alert every time I release a show, which is every Tuesday and every Friday. And if you want to subscribe to the show directly, you can find us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on TuneIn, Stitcher, Overcast, anywhere you find podcasts. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, me talking to some amazing musician. Now, I thought it was pretty serendipitous that Ariel came in and she had just recorded this song, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, in Los Angeles with Trev Lukather, who is Steve Lukather's son. And Steve Lukather, while I was moving out of my place, well, before it got renovated like a month ago, I listened to the Steve Lukather album, the audiobook. It's called The Gospel According to Luke. Get out there and check it out. It's fantastic. The dude has a great story. And he's played on so many records, it's unbelievable. From Thriller to Let's Get Physical. Obviously, he's the guy from Toto. Whatever. Great, great audiobook. Great having him tell you the story. So she recorded this song with his son, Trev Lukather, and in Los Angeles. And it's the single that's out now. It's the great Carole King song, Will You Love Me Tomorrow. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, gang. And enjoy this tune by Ariel Abshire, Will You Love Me Tomorrow? Let's get down.